Hello, and welcome back to Your Favorite Album, the podcast where we sit down with someone and ask them, hey, what's your favorite album? I'm your host, Adam Santiago, and joining me this week is my buddy, Liz Kantner. Hi, Liz.
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, pretty good. I'm happy to have you on the show. Since I was thinking about this earlier today, man, the mixed CDs we used to exchange, the theme mixed CDs.
We did it for a minute. Yeah, actually, Jessica and I made an epic build-up to the breakdown mix once that I still listen to often.
Nice. See, you know, music brings everyone together. Hey, one of your dogs is awake.
Yeah, they're my dogs, Mr. Elliot Sniff and Connor O'Barks. So there they are. But it's interesting because we actually met because I'm a music fangirl, pretty much.
Wait, where did we meet the first time? Oh, yeah. No. Is that how we met?
We met through Jessica, but Jessica and I met because I'm a total fangirl, and she's a fangirl.
Fangirls. Coming together.
Fangirls.
Over things to fangirl about.
And then I don't know when I met you, but it was sometime in there.
Yeah, it was
2008.
Wow, crap. That's when I had just moved into my new apartment, because we all went to go see, I think, Reservoir Dogs or
yeah,
something.
We did. We did. At midnight.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
Aw.
Good times.
We just took a trip down memory lane.
Memories.
So, are you ready for the question?
I'm ready. I don't know if the dogs are, but I am certainly ready. I've been preparing for this.
Okay. Liz, what's your favorite album?
Okay. So, I decided to go with The Greatest Generation by The Wonder Years. And I chose this album because for a lot of reasons, actually. First off, the Wonder Years are, like, probably the best pop punk band in this current day and age. I'm, you know, super into pop punk and have been for a long time. But I guess this album came out when I needed it to. And that's, like, a big thing to say as a 20-something, because I feel like a lot of albums are great for your teenage years, but they don't really fit when you're older. Let me tell you a bit about the Wonder Years. They're actually from Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, which is right by my hometown. So what they're singing about really relates to me, and I connect to it a lot stronger just because I know what they're talking about really specifically. And The Greatest Generation is the third in a almost trilogy of albums, and they all have, like, various themes, and it's, like, they're trying to discover themselves. So, in 2010, their first, well, it wasn't their first album, but their first of this trilogy came out, and it was called The Upsides, and it was pretty much, like, wanting to escape your past and your childhood, and the whole, like, common theme throughout it is this lyric, I'm not sad anymore, I'm just tired of this place. So at that point, they're still in the suburbs, they haven't gone to college yet, and then the second album, they, like, hit the road, they're on tour, they moved to Philadelphia, and they're talking about suburbia, and, like, they're unsure how they feel about it, and they're unsure how they feel about their hometown. They're still excited to be out, but they're still thinking about coming back, like, which is this whole mix of emotions, like, once you leave home, how it feels, and then when you come back to visit and all that. So then the third, which came out in 2013, called The Greatest Generation, is really, like, this personal album about growing up and still trying to stick to your roots. And also realizing that leaving, or that your hometown and your family isn't as bad as you once thought it was. And you kind of come back and erase it. So I just love the themes, and I love a good story. And I feel like they really tell it. And The Greatest Generation spoke most to me because it came out right when I needed it, like I had said before.
And what? Why is that? Like, Why do you feel you needed, like, it resonated with you?
Yeah, so in 2013, I had just moved to Colorado. Well, I guess I had just moved to Colorado. Denver, Colorado, the middle of the country. I never thought I'd be here. So it came out, and I had like graduated college in 2010, and I had a couple jobs. Realized the real world wasn't all it was cracked up to be. And then I had this opportunity to move to Denver, and I moved out here. And it was just like a really weird time for me, because moving away from, I grew up in Philadelphia, born and raised, went to college there, all that. Moving away from that really was way harder for me than I expected. And I kind of realized when I got out here that I had no idea who I was or what I was doing or why I was here. So this whole album, as it goes through like the journey of discovering who you are and coming to terms with it, it was the right fit at the right time. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, okay, the timing of the release, was it around right when that was happening, or did it come out a little beforehand, and as you were moving, you were like, oh, this all kind of reminds me of the album, or was it all just kind of, like, simultaneous?
It came out kind of after I had made the move, and I was still, like, in shock the first couple months, so then then the album came out, and I had my new job, and I was all, like, kind of settled and just trying to figure out this new life here, but also kind of resisting it. And then also, it's just freaking awesome pop punk, so that is a great touch, and it just is something that you can put on and listen to all the way through and sing along and jam out and feel really good.
Yes, and you do really love your pop punk stuff.
I love pop punk. No one in Colorado likes pop punk.
Really?
That's a really general statement, but I have not met many people here who like pop punk.
What's the general vibe of the people you've come across so far?
There is a very big hippie psychedelic scene.
I could see that.
And then there's the dance thing. Like, I guess that like kind of goes along with the psychedelic thing. But the dance music and the raving type things, and fish, of course. Stuff like that. So
who doesn't love fish? Or fish
food?
I
do not.
You have to at least appreciate the ice cream, though. No?
I like Swedish fish, and I do like ice cream.
All right, then. So, I'm trying to think here.
I know, sorry. I just went in.
Yeah, I mean, you went through a good amount of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's always funny, like, I really love when people just kind of go off the cuff and just go for it, but then I'm like, holy crap, where do I catch up? Yeah, because you kind of cover most of the things there, you know?
Yeah, well, I can go through the tracks.
Oh, you've gone that thorough in your notes?
Well, I mean, I've been listening to it a lot, because I kind of pulled it back out when I was choosing my favorite album. Chris actually helped me, because I was unsure between two albums, Your Favorite Weapon by Brand New, which you've done on this podcast, and I really enjoyed that episode, and then this album, and I decided on this album, and how we decided was we played both of them, and he judged which one I got more excited about.
That's I haven't heard that used yet. As a judge on this show. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is an album we'll put on while we're cleaning the house, and I'll, like, really just dance around and rock out.
Oh, so it's in constant rotation.
Yeah, it is, actually. And I have actually a lot of albums in constant rotation, but this is certainly one of the top played.
Gotcha. And, okay, since you were talking before, you go into tracks and stuff, is it something, like, if you see it live, do you get just the same feel just hearing, like, the certain songs that they'll play off of it? Or is it kind of like you need the whole collective thing?
Great question, actually. You stumped me.
I win.
This band is really awesome. I know, you win. This band is really awesome live, and I love live music, especially when it's really sounds like the album. Mm-hmm. Or, like, it sounds like the recording, so it's not a surprise. And they're really good live. They have so much energy on stage. Even I saw them at Warped Tour last year, which is normally where bands go to die when it comes to live music. And they were freaking awesome. So, yes and no. I need to listen to it in order, but I still get excited to see them.
Ah, so it has to be in order. Is it like a story in order?
It feels like a story, and I think that's why I need it in order. It's so thoughtful, the way the songs fade in or like move into each other. So I just think it works best as in order.
I see. Now, okay, so I'm curious as to what you have to say about these songs, because you sent me a picture of your notes and I was already, I was overwhelmed. There's like, crap, she's more prepared than I am.
It didn't take that long. I was just listening to it, and I just wanted to scribble down my thoughts as I was listening through. Because albums, like, sorry, I'm going to go on a little tangent here. Albums are, like, so... we've lost the art of that. Like, the artist chooses the songs in a certain order for a specific reason, and they're trying to tell something. And I think that with this digital age, it's a lot of people miss that. So I really respect albums that are really thought out and in a really good order.
Yeah, that is, especially when you can just digest albums and pieces these days. It's like you don't really have to put much thought, because if someone likes a song, they can just buy two or three tracks off the album and not have to worry about it, which is kind of sad.
Just a little bit.
Because there's always those gems on an album that you'll come back to, like you'll overlook them, and then after a while you're like, man, this is my new favorite song on this album.
Exactly. You know? The worst is when you're really excited about a new album, you listen to the first four songs, and then the rest of the album, shit. I hate that.
Front-loaded, not evenly balanced.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's sad.
It is sad.
So what do you got on these songs? I'm curious.
Sure. I don't love every single song. Like, I wouldn't...
Oh, you know, interesting.
Yeah, I do like them all together, and I will listen to it through and through and not skip any, but there are certainly some that stand out, as with every album. It starts off like kind of slow, to kind of like bring you in. And the first song is called There There, and it starts off like, you know, pop punk's like big music, with, you know, drums and stuff. This starts out like really, really calm. And it kind of builds up a little. You know, I love build-ups. But it's the quote in it, or the lyric in this is, I'm sorry, I don't laugh at the right times. And then it goes into, like, this big booming, I'm awkward and nervous. And then the second track, it just starts right into. It's called Passing Through the Screen Door. And I would say probably this is my favorite track on the album, although there are quite a few standouts. And I think this lyrically and musically is just really awesome. It's pretty much about anxiety. If you look at the title, it stands for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I feel like he's talking about that from his teenage years and in his early 20s, and he's like coming out of that, and he's just doesn't want something bad to happen. He's constantly worrying about that, and that kind of speaks to the quarter life crisis, in my opinion, because you're just in this space and you're like, okay, everything was planned for me up until this point, and now I don't know what I'm doing, you know, like you're kind of almost waiting to fail. And I feel like this song's very much about that. In it, he speaks of, I don't want my children growing up to be anything like me. And he is talking about how all his friends have kids and are married, and he doesn't really want that stability. And then he's like, did I fuck up? You know, like, was I supposed to go this route? And that's very true to, like, what I'm in right now, because it's like, okay, I just moved across the country, and I kind of am not looking for stability. I'm looking to, you know, still be doing things and not have children, and like, but all my friends are having kids, and I don't know. It really fits me right now. Yeah.
That's that weird state in life, you know, where everything's...
It's a really weird state.
Everything's transitioning. You're like, oh, man, what do I do, you know?
And you're kind of... It kind of, because of what everybody else is doing, you're kind of thinking, am I doing the wrong thing? But, I mean, you're not. You're doing what you want to be doing.
Yeah. It's kind of like Weezer's Green Album. It's like...
Yeah,
I'm totally. Kind of doing the same stuff I did with Blue, but should I be going... towards Maladroit? I don't know. That's how I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, that's great. I like that. I like that comparison there.
I like talking about Weezer from time to time.
Understandable. Weezer's okay. They're great.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've never seen these guys live. I messed up at the last Warped Tour. I totally screwed up.
When did I see them? I saw them at Bamboozle.
Oh, yeah?
A few years ago, I think. They were, like, the headliner.
Wait, are you talking about Weezer or the Wonder Years?
Oh, I was talking about Weezer.
Okay, no, I've definitely seen those guys.
Oh, I was going to say. Yeah, no, you need to see the Wonder Years live. They're freaking awesome. They're, like, old school pop punk. Awesome. Sorry, that got confusing there.
It's okay.
Okay, cool.
That's what happens in conversations.
I know. I guess it does. Especially when you're awkward and nervous.
You're doing fine.
Okay, cool. I am sweating a little, so just to be totally honest there. anyway, it's kind of funny that you bring on, like, people who are obsessed with music onto a podcast to speak, because I feel like, I mean, I've met some awesome people through music, but they're I mean, you know... they're kind of awkward.
Well, that's, you know,
I offend so many people.
Well, for some people, you know, music is such a, like, good way to relate, you know, if they're thing, you know, you
totally.
Trying to think of the way
it's best how
way to
I've
put
made
it.
Friends in my life
there
if
you go.
I didn't have music, I don't know how I would have made friends.
I could see. Yeah, that's kind of like how high school was for me. I was the
yeah.
awkward nerdy kid, but I had a reputation for listening to interesting music. So
yeah.
I'd be showing, like, all the thugs in school, like, ska music, and they'd be like, hey, Adam, come sit over here, play that music you got. And it's just like, hey, this stuff's got horns, and it's amazing.
That's awesome.
I love me some ska.
I love ska.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, track 3, moving right along here, I really love as well. It's about kind of realizing that your hometown isn't as bad as you thought it was, and the suburbs aren't as awful. And the suburbs, when I was growing up, seemed pretty freaking awful, but they're not. I love going back to them now. So he kind of realizes the same thing. This whole album feels to me kind of like a group therapy session. And it's nice to know people are feeling things that you're feeling, especially when it's like self-doubt and anxiety and things that, like, normal, you know, people at your office don't talk about, or like most of your friends don't talk about. So I think music that and lyrics that open up that conversation are really powerful. Yeah. Just got a little deep there. So track 4 is Chris's favorite song on this album. I know this is about my favorite album, but the Wonder Years has been, like, throughout our relationship, like, a band that we're really passionate about. And we don't like a lot of the same music. We have, like, you know, we like Newfound Glory and stuff, but he likes more instrumental stuff. So the fact that we can always put this on and we'll both, like, really love it is great. But this Dismantling Summer song, track 4, came out, it came out the summer that I moved out here. So Where was I going with this? It came out the summer after I moved out here. But I remember, like, the summer was starting and, like, this had just come out. So we were listening to it over and over and over again. And it kind of is telling the story about how his grandfather's in the hospital and he had a heart attack, and the lead singer is saying that he hadn't felt a real heartbreak until now. So those breakups and failed relationships he's had so far aren't really comparing to this, like, serious, like, heartache that he's feeling now. And it's kind of just a part of growing up, is realizing that, like, you know, the fact that that guy didn't text you back isn't as huge of a deal as you thought it was at the time.
Yeah. Oh, man, there's something to be said about those maturing pop punk tracks. You know, right? Like, there's always that one on the album where you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And it really spoke to me because it had, like, it got Chris telling the story about his uncle being in the hospital when he was in a place where he couldn't go and visit. He was young, so he was, like, at sleepaway camp or something. And then it brought up a story with me where I was in college and my grandmother was in the hospital. And it just, like, was interesting that even though we kind of have totally different paths, we had this, like, one story about this one song that we were listening to in my first summer out in Colorado. So it was just kind of cosmic. And it's kind of about being there for the people who were there for you, which is something that comes with maturing. Like, you're kind of selfish until you realize, like, these people are really there for me and I have to be there for them.
Yeah, I know that feeling all too well when you're taking stock of what you have and, you know, realizing that it's more than just about you and whatnot.
Yeah. So, track 5 is great too. I don't have much to say about it. It's just a really strong track. It's called The Bastards, The Vultures, and The Wolves. And then track 6 is definitely my favorite on this album. I know I said number 2 was, but I think this is definitely my favorite.
Make up your mind.
I like all of them. Let me like all of them. I already narrowed it down to one album. It's called The Devil in My Bloodstream, and it is a build-up to a breakdown. So that kind of swayed my thinking there. But I think it's a really interesting song because it's this, like, battle of, like, wanting to grow up but also trying to find a way to, like, stick to your roots and kind of integrate those things together. And it's just such a, like, coming-of-age track, which is a dorky thing to say, but it just is figuring out your purpose and finding contentment in that, which is a hard thing to do.
I'm still trying to figure that out.
I am with you. I am with you. And then track 7, Teenage Parents, it is not something I really related to in his story, but it just made me feel so much more connected to the band. Because, I don't know, like, the more you know about people in this, it just drew me in. Because it gets really personal about his past and it kind of makes sense, and fits in with the rest of the story. And then tracks 8 and 9 are both, like, pop punky, like, really fast paced, awesome songs. 10, Rain Dance in Traffic, is kind of back to, like, talking about anxiety and, like, how he used to be and how he's, like, really nervous now and, like, in this place where he doesn't know what's going on. And the lyric that stands out is, I used to have such steady hands, but now I can't keep them from shaking, because he's just, like, really unsure, I feel like, or that's how I'm interpreting it. Track 11, probably the worst track on the album, but it still fits in really nicely. because Rain Dance in Traffic, the track before, is really strong and fast and awesome. And then the track after, track 12, Cul-de-Sac, is really fast and awesome. And it's kind of about letting go of sadness and loss and things that you've been holding on to from your past. And then probably like what really does it for me about this album is the last track, number 13, is I Just Want to Sell Out My Funeral. And it's kind of this medley of all the songs, and it ties the whole album back together, and has snippets of some of the themes in the lyrics and the other songs, and it's build up, of course. And it's kind of anthem-like. And it's kind of like, you know, I just want my friends and family to be proud of me, no matter, you know, like, I'm less concerned with, you know, what other people think. I just, my close friends and family, I just want them to be proud of me. And I feel like that's another thing you're really struggling with in your 20s, at least I am, is how to fulfill your own goals and wants and desires, but also, like, that need to, like, really, really have the people closest to you be proud of you.
Whew, I think that's something everyone strives for, though. Yeah. Well, not strive, but struggles with, you know?
Totally. Totally. Yeah, it just got deep. Yeah, but so I think that, like, just pulls everything together. And this is a really great album. And talking about it makes me love it more.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, let me ask you, since you said it, you know, since it's part of the trilogy, do you think, like, does it stand okay on its own? Like, do you kind of understand where coming from? I mean, not even talking about, is it still, like, a fun album, but, I mean, do you get, is it still, like, relatable, understandable, not having listening to the previous two albums, do you feel?
Great question. I think that because, like, I don't listen to the other previous two albums quite as much because they're not, like, where I am right now anymore. Mm-hmm. But at the times that they came out, they really were, and they were, like, my thing, my album at the time. And each album truly gets better. Like, this band keeps progressing in this really awesome way that's not, like, changing themselves. It's still true to themselves, but they're, like, truly growing up. So I think if you like what you hear in The Greatest Generation, I would go back and listen to the other two just to really, like, see their progression. But I wouldn't say you have to.
Because, I mean, you know, sometimes there are bands that, especially, like, just where their music develops from album to album, and sometimes you kind of don't get where everything's going if you haven't really been around for the entire ride, or you won't appreciate it as much.
Right, yeah, these are kind of each their own stories, but they do build on each other, but they're not necessary to make the whole thing complete.
Gotcha. I feel you. So, say you had to, well, I guess you've killed all my questions, because I was just going to say, so say you had to sell this album to someone.
That means I win.
You've pretty much done it. way to crap me out there.
That's why I'm in marketing, Adam.
I like it. I did, like, one thing, because I was just, like, looking up some stuff on this album, and I did write one thing that, upon the reception, it just got a bunch of, like, good reviews from everybody. But Absolute Punk, their review was, instead of giving, like, it didn't even get a rating from 0 to 10. It was just a quote that was, "It is my firm belief that The Greatest Generation has no real precedent in this community. It's my belief that there isn't another band in pop punk right now that can write a record this good."
Yep.
That's insane.
That's insane. And I truly, I wholeheartedly believe that as well. This is the best pop punk that's currently active in writing albums, I would say. Pretty confidently.
I want someone to say something like that about me. Like, Adam drinks Wawa iced tea like no other man before.
That is true. I miss Wawa so much. I don't even want to talk about it. But
drinking some right now.
I'm so angry. I'm drinking my water in Colorado where there's no Wawa or anything good, except for the mountains and the scenery and all that. And marijuana is legal, so that's great. I think that you have the greatest podcast about people's favorite albums. So there you go.
Oh, I'm blushing. Thank you.
Oh, good.
You're too kind. You're too kind. So, let's see. I'm going to guess if you had, you know, because, you know, I always ask someone, hey, what track should we go with?
Yeah, which are you going to think that I'm going to pick?
I'm going to bet money that you're going to say The Devil in My Bloodstream.
Actually.
Ah, no. Crap.
I was going to do that. I was going to.
I'm leaving. About this.
But I decided that passing through the screen door is kind of the best representation of the whole album.
Ooh,
so
okay.
I chose that one. But you were close because I was 50-50. But
now, in how so do you think it's the best representation? You mean in terms of, like, symbolic meaning and also, like, the style of music, like, the consistency?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, that's pretty good. You've done a few firsts on this episode. No one's ever given me a track-by-track kind of thing going. And an overall representative, you know, that's a good explanation.
Oh, yeah, I've upped the bar.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I tried to weave some storytelling in there, too, because I really love the stories that people tell about their albums.
they make them all up. I write them and email them the stories.
Oh, I knew this was fake.
Sorry to pull back the curtain.
I hate it now.
That's all I got. So, anything else you'd like to share about this album?
No. I've listened to it. If I didn't convince you, then I don't know what I did wrong.
Aw. I think you did a good job. I think you're all set on this.
Okay.
Well, Liz, thank you for taking the time to be on the show. I'm very happy we got to do this, since I feel like we talked about this a while ago.
We did.
I look forward to the next time we're on the same coast and we can hang out.
Yeah. Totally.
It'll be fun. So,
it'll be great.
Exactly.
We'll talk pop punk and things.
I'll try to have some iced tea for you. I'll try.
Yeah.
I'll try to
and
grab
soft
some.
Soft pretzels, if you don't mind.
No prob. Well, I would like to thank everyone for stopping by Your Favorite Album once again. I want to thank Liz for being on the show and educating me on this album, which I have listened to before, but now I'm going to go back and listen to it again with a new understanding, thanks to the track-by-track analysis that Liz provided me. So, be proud of yourself. No, it's good. It's good. I like it. I like the way different people approach this, because I never know what's going to happen, you know? Sometimes we'll just wander and talk. We'll talk about the album for 2 minutes, and then it'll just go on to side stories about
those
the band
and
stuff. Yeah, I mean, you just never know what's going to happen. It's so open-ended, which you think, like, just from the title of the show, it kind of seems like it's a limited kind of aspect, but the conversations can just go anywhere. It's awesome.
Yeah, totally.
I'm just kicking my own tires there, you know. That's what I'm doing there.
You should.
So, once again, thanks everyone for dropping by. We're going to leave you with not the song I thought. We're going to be leaving you with Passing Through a Screen Door by The Wonder Years off the album The Greatest Generation. Once again, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, all that fun stuff, iTunes. Hopefully, we'll catch you again next week. Until then, have a good one, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.
Cigarette smoke dances back in the window, and I can see the haze on its own light. I'm conjuring ghosts on a 40-hour ride home, and they keep asking me what I'm doing with my life. Well, my cousins go to bed with their wives. I'm feeling like I'm falling behind. Well, the highway would. I'm listening to traffic reports one-on-one, coming quietly undone. I was born to run away from anything good. Escape artist's son. Sun drenched pavement in my 9 times, but you wouldn't understand. How could you understand? Jesus Christ! All 20!